Three are dead in a midair over Wyoming. United pilots tell the FAA their airline may be skimping on maintenance. And a transatlantic helicopter speed record falls in grand style. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, August 12th, 2008. Details are still coming in a reported Sunday afternoon mid-air collision between a Cirrus SR-22 and a Cessna 172 over southwest Wyoming. The two aboard the Cirrus and the pilot and lone occupant of the 172 are all confirmed dead. The collision happened a few miles from the Rock Springs Airport. The FAA says the SR-22 was en route to Rock Springs from Polson, Montana, and in contact with ATC. Little, on the other hand, is known about the nature of the 172's flight. Video of the crash site shown on Salt Lake City's KSL TV shows the SR-22's ballistic chute was deployed, but officials so far believe that was the result of crash forces, not an intentional deployment by the pilot. Debris from both aircraft is spread over several acres. Watch for the preliminary report on our website at aero-news.net. Pilots at United Airlines have sent a letter suggesting to acting FAA Administrator Robert Sturgill that four recent engine failures on Boeing 737s flown by United may indicate, quote, maintenance standards have deteriorated at United as operational decisions are increasingly driven by economic considerations, unquote. UAL Captain Steve Wallach, head of the United branch of the Airline Pilots Association, calls on Sturgill to press senior management at the Chicago-based carrier to, quote, stop the egregious management decisions based on economics, oftentimes at the expense of safety and regulatory compliance, unquote. The Wall Street Journal reports the four incidents occurred between July 12th and August 3rd. The engine failures took place shortly after takeoff in each case and resulted in emergency landings, but no injuries. Pilots at United were outraged after they agreed to wage and benefit concessions, then watched CEO Glenn Tilton and other execs collect bonuses. Most recently, the airline reached a temporary agreement with ALPA to limit what the airline said was an illegal sick out that forced the cancellation of hundreds of flights last month. The airline notes that the four 737 Classics are due for retirement by the end of the year and says it's investigating the engine failures. Spokeswoman Jean Medina vehemently denied any connection to the airline's maintenance practices and added, quote, it is unconscionable and intentionally misleading for ALPA to suggest otherwise, unquote. Many aviation speed records are broken by a few percent, but once in a while they're broken by big margins. During their attempt to break the around-the-world speed record in an Augusta Westland Grand helicopter, pilots Scott Kasperwitz and Steve Shake have broken the New York to London record by 35 hours. In their machine, which is said to be showroom stock with no extra fuel capacity added for the record attempt, they flew the 3,449 nautical miles in 40 hours, 41 minutes. Kasperwitz said it was no walk in the park. Quote, we've experienced every possible type of weather condition, including rain, icing, and strong headwinds, and through each challenging condition, the helicopter has performed exceptionally. The pilots entered Russia on Sunday for the most challenging portion of their record attempt, dubbed the Grand Adventure. They anticipate crossing the continent in 3.5 days, then returning to the United States through Nome, Alaska. They'll travel through almost every state before landing back in New York next week. So far, the crew has completed the first 5 legs of the trip, including 28 fuel stops and an overnight inspection at Augusta Westland's facility in Cascina Costa, Italy. The helicopter's progress is constantly monitored in the control center using the Iridium Global Satellite Communications Network. Kasperwitz and Shake departed New York LaGuardia at 3:14 a.m. last Thursday. For real-time tracking and more information, visit www.grandadventure08.com. Up next on ANN, the TSA will inspect small aircraft and airports for terrorist threats. Pilots at Delta and Northwest are urged by their union to vote yes. And Virgin wants the next U.S. president to quash a proposed transatlantic alliance. You're listening to Aero News.
Do you feel stimulated? Hey, that's why Congress passed the Economic Stimulus Act of 2008, so loyal Americans like yourself would feel stimulated to help rev up the economy by spending money on important stuff like new Garmin avionics. We're talking potential tax incentives, bonus depreciation up to 50% in first-year cost allowances for qualified business use equipment purchases. See your tax advisor for guidance and your Garmin dealer for one whale of a stimulus package. It's almost like your patriotic duty, huh? Garmin, follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 12, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Either the Transportation Security Administration has found new evidence that small planes really are a security threat, or the airline industry has called in a marker somewhere to make life more difficult for general aviation. USA Today is reporting the TSA is planning a massive expansion of aviation security that for the first time will regulate thousands of private planes now flying with no security rules. Despite the fact that automobiles are the overwhelming vehicle of choice for bomb-minded terrorists, and the fact that a small plane has never been used in such an attack, TSA is bringing its solution in search of a problem. Michael Morgan, TSA's head of general aviation security, says about 15,000 small aircraft and 4,700 airports they frequent will now come under his agency's watchful eye. Measures are expected to include checking flight crew backgrounds, parking planes in secure areas, and inspecting the planes themselves. So far, TSA is only talking about planes over 12,500 pounds, and there's been no word yet on whether passengers will be screened. Aviation security consultant Glenn Wynn told the paper, there is a legitimate security hole which must be addressed. Quote, there's a huge window that's open, and I do believe they've got to close that. Unquote. Coincidentally, Wynn is a former chief of security for United Airlines. While GA and business aviation groups cross their fingers and hope the plan will be workable, one business aviation vendor says there may actually be an upside. Eric Beyer is head of government affairs for the National Air Transportation Association, which represents companies that service business jets. He says the new security rules will be a bit of an inconvenience, but might draw some passengers who are now worried about private planes. And, of course, if the TSA crackdown makes the non-flying public feel safer, it will have achieved its real goal. So far, the pending merger between the workforces of Delta and Northwest Airlines is looking like it will go a whole lot smoother than the America West U.S. Airways debacle. A point of tension in any merging of pilot workforces is how the seniority lists from the two airlines are reconciled. Pilots get to bid their routes, the aircraft types they fly, and even vacations based on their rank on that list, and it also determines in what order furloughs are made. In the takeover of U.S. Airways by America West 3 years ago, those issues were never sorted out and have been so bitterly debated that the former U.S. Airways pilots split from the Airline Pilots Association, charging the union and an arbitrator favored pilots coming in from the America West side. In sharp contrast to that situation, pilots at Delta and Northwest have already told management at the two airlines that if they haven't sorted out seniority issues on their own by the time the merger happens, they'll submit to binding arbitration. The Associated Press reports that on Friday, pilots at both Delta and Northwest were urged by their union leaders to ratify a joint collective bargaining agreement. In its pitch for a yes vote, the union told Delta pilots the deal would provide compounded raises for pilots of more than 18% over 4 years. Both Delta and Northwest pilots are also being offered stock, which would total about 5.9% of the company, divided evenly among the roughly 12,000 total pilots. If Monday's ratification vote has succeeded, it would mark yet another sign the all-stock acquisition of Northwest by Delta is going smoothly. European regulators cleared the deal last week, finding it would have little impact on competition there or on transatlantic routes. The U.S. Department of Justice is expected to give its okay by the end of this year. Shareholders in both companies get to vote on the deal next month. Sir Richard Branson of Virgin Atlantic Airways has written to both U.S. presidential candidates claiming a proposed alliance between British Airways and American Airlines would, quote, severely damage competition on major transatlantic routes and leave consumers worse off. Airlines everywhere are struggling with the current price of oil, but the solution to their problems should not lie in an anti-competitive agreement, which will inevitably lead to less competition and higher fares, unquote. Branson wrote the letter Sunday to Senators Barack Obama and John McCain. As ANN reported last month, American is exploring the transatlantic alliance with British Airways and Spain's Iberia rather than a formal merger with another U.S. airline. The three carriers are expected to file an application this week for permission to consolidate prices and timetables and share revenues and frequent flyer details on their route networks. Branson's biggest concern appears to be that the alliance would control nearly half of all landing slots at London Heathrow Airport. Virgin notes that on both previous occasions when BA and American have attempted to combine forces, regulators have found anti-competitive issues. Branson says in his letter that every airline has to deal with the temporary challenges of the current economy. Quote, "The job of the regulators is to assess the long-term impact of the alliance on competition, not to provide special protection from the immediate challenges of the economic cycle," unquote. Still ahead, a new SLSA brings Australian toughness to America. A volcanic eruption cancels Alaska Airlines flights. And listen to this before you book a cheap flight in Europe. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, August 12, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Question: what's the next best thing to getting your new special light sport aircraft certified just before you display it at Oshkosh? Answer: having the U.S. dealer, the plane's designer, and an FAA-designated airworthiness representative all together to get it done during AirVenture. In this case, the dealer is Nate Oldham's Air Gyro Aviation of Spanish Fork, Utah. The plane is Australian Lightwing's SP2000 Outback 2. So why does the U.S. need yet another LSA? Well, the Outback 2 has some unique features designed for the tough service it sees in Australian training markets. The airframe is based on a welded steel safety cage and sleek composite shell, but the wings are part aluminum and part fabric for resistance to dust and corrosion. The landing gear is steel. The aircraft features a Rotax 912 ULS power plant, but Rotomax rotary engines may eventually be an option pending completion of the rotary's ASTM standards testing. Another of Oldham's companies, Rotary Aircraft Engines, is on board to distribute aircraft versions of the Rotomax in the U.S. The SLSA inspection was done by DAR Mike Huffman. Oh, and the plane's designer? Howard Hughes of Australia. No, not that Howard Hughes. And yes, that's his real name. Oldham said of his company, quote, "Our primary focus at Air Gyro Aviation is to bring the fun and affordability of sport aviation to a generation who may have thought recreational flying was simply out of reach. Our aircraft are chosen for their ease of flying and their safety features," unquote. Nate talks about his company and the aircraft he's chosen to represent in the July 31st edition of the Aero News special feature. You can find that back in the AeroCast's archive at aero-news.net. Here's one you don't hear every day. Alaska Airlines announced yesterday it canceled flights to and from Adak, Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, Ketchikan, and Sitka, Alaska late Sunday and early Monday morning as a precaution due to ash from the eruption of the Kasatochi volcano in the Aleutian Islands last week. As of midnight Pacific time Monday morning, 41 flights were canceled. That includes flights between Alaska and Denver, L.A., Portland, San Francisco, Seattle, and Vancouver, B.C. Glenn Johnson, the executive vice president of airports, maintenance, and engineering for the airline, said, quote, "We recognize these cancellations will significantly impact our customers intending to travel to or from Alaska. These decisions are guided by our commitment to safety, and we're making every effort to reaccommodate passengers whose flight schedules have been disrupted," unquote. According to Alaska's website, Any passengers whose flights are canceled due to concerns over volcanic ash may receive a refund of their fares, or if they change flights by August 24th, they won't have to pay the normally required charges, fees, and taxes. If volcanic ash is ingested through an airline's turbofans, heavy enough concentrations can cause flameouts due to caking of the material on turbine compressor blades and fuel injectors. Lower concentrations can severely reduce thrust and lead to costly repair and maintenance. And finally, if you think U.S. airlines offer some lame excuses for disrupting your travel plans, wait till you hear this story. The Times of London reports British low-cost carrier EasyJet has finally agreed to reimburse the Starkey family the equivalent of more than $3,300 U.S. after stranding them in the Canary Islands for 5 days last month. The family was there for a wedding, but the return flight was canceled when the pilot realized his certification had expired and there was no room for them on the next available flight. Adding insult to injury, EasyJet would only agree to pay for a hotel for 2 nights. How could they get away with it? Well, in the European Union, there are tough standards for taking care of passengers, but they're not applied to low-cost airlines in cases of extraordinary circumstances, where apparently the official government philosophy is, you get what you pay for. In this case, EasyJet claimed making sure the pilot held a current certificate to fly was not its responsibility. Nicola and Robert Starkey took their case to the media, and the resulting public outrage appears to have pried loose a few bucks from the airline. This isn't the only case in which a European low-cost airline has stiffed passengers and then claimed an exemption. Ryanair recently used the loophole to cancel thousands of tickets bought through third-party price comparison sites, claiming those services are illegal. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Larry Riddle, VP of Business Development at L3 Avionics. At Oshkosh, L3 introduced an electronic replacement for the traditional analog instruments currently seen as backup systems in most glass panel-equipped general aviation aircraft. And the company also announced the availability of synthetic vision for SmartDeck. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCast. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.